This is the morning pre-flight, the internship with extra steps.
Your intros never get old.
No.
Holy cow.
They don't. Somebody put together a super cut of us for an intro this year. I heard it yesterday.
I haven't heard it come up this morning.
No, it reminds us just how awful we are at radio. So.
I love you guys.
Oh, man. It is 7:34 on day 5 of AirVenture Oshkosh 2021, and joining us right now is Josh Bixler of Flight Test. Morning, Josh.
Oh, good morning.
Thanks for coming in again.
Oh, now, I'm going to come back. I told you guys, I'm like a stray puppy you guys feed. I'm going to come back any chance you guys give me.
You have to stop apologizing. We enjoy having you here in the morning. Right.
We've been talking a lot of business the last couple mornings, which is cool because there's a lot of good business things going on with Flight Test and the new Flight Test community, and today, though, I want to talk about kind of the gateway drug of
the carnage.
Flight Test. Yeah.
We can say it. We break things.
Yeah. So many people like want to watch NASCAR because they want to watch the wrecks.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys, as Flight Test, actually do test things in flight. And build some things that should never fly. And just to prove a point to say, can we do this? And sometimes the answer is no. No, you can't.
No, and sometimes it's maybe we shouldn't have.
Right.
So, but we always say we do this so you don't have to, but we really want to show you how we did it.
Yeah. But there's some things to learn in failure.
So. The toilet immediately comes to mind. But
yes.
Do we want to start there?
Yeah.
Sure, why not? So I want to talk to you about some of your crazier builds and projects and things like that. And you brought it up. You launched a flying toilet.
Yeah, we made a toilet fly. We have some really good friends at the King of Random. They are a YouTube channel that's similar to us, but they take on everything random in the world. They'll make a 10-pound gummy bear one week, and then the next week they'll test out, you know, a Flex Seal. They gifted us with a 1-to-1 replica of a toilet that they carved out of foam and like decoupage and glass, and it was beautiful. It borderline looked functional, and they're like, "Hey, Flight Test, here you go, make it fly." And we stepped up to the challenge. I mean, everyone wants to see a toilet fly. We had to make it happen.
Clearly.
So this is a really cool thing, is you can go back into history and you can look at weird contraptions like what looks like a flying toilet, and immediately my heart went towards, remember that plane in Mad Max with the crazy crop duster? I forget what it's called, but it's like a beautiful specimen of versatility.
Mm-hmm. I think that was a Cessna .337, if I remember rightly. Wasn't that what it was?
It's awesome. In
Mad Max?
Yeah.
It was awesome. So immediately my heart and mind went right towards that. And it's like, okay, let's figure out. And the hardest thing is how do you get wings to stick on a toilet? And and that was the biggest feat. So immediately, typically we start in small, prototypes. Well, if we can make it fly small, when you make things bigger, they fly better. And we can dial it in from there. But we immediately started with a classic Clark Y airfoil. And the biggest thing with the back tank is, you know, it's going to blank out that airfoil. And we're like, okay, how do we address this? And how far do we need to get it back? Because you don't want to just put long, gimbly wings on it and just kind of work out the parameters. It has to look like something that you see in Wacky Races as a child. And so we proceeded to get aluminum channeling, some foam board wings, and then just overpowered as much as possible. You know, there's never such thing as too much power to overcome a bad design. And we use that to our advantage.
And by the way, I looked it up, and that plane is a Transavia air truck. And yes, it does look like a flying toilet.
That's awesome.
I am 100% there.
So with STEM, we always tell our kids to start with research. And so when we do research, we laugh because history is full of opportunities to, you know, bring it back to life. And that plane was awesome. So yeah, the toilet, we went out, and we bought Edgewater. We still hadn't dropped any trees. And we're like, okay, this is a perfect location to send this thing into flight. And just imagine the poor golfers when you come out with a trailer and a toilet and you're putting these wings on it. We powered it with a couple monster motors, and first flight was a failure. And we put it on the side of a hill, quickly grabbed some hot glue and some tape. And from that point on, you know, history is made, and we got a good solid number 2 flying in the air.
One of the other favorites is with the flying Star Destroyer, again, things that you would think, oh, we're just going to make this thing fly, but like the logistics of, that's not an airfoil.
No, it's not. And the Star Destroyer was a great example of where you start small scale, get proof of concept, and you go bigger. And our best friend is Lowe's or Home Depot. Whenever you kind of go big, we actually, I don't know if you guys know this, we had to cut the Star Destroyer in half. We built it, Peter Schriepel built it in our main workshop area, but it was too big to get out the door. And no one really thought about that. And I think there's been a lot of pilots that have done this
in their basement.
There's
so many EAers that have had that problem.
Yeah, bring out the backhoe. Well, we had to cut this thing in half just to get it. And I think we even had to cut it some more to get it in the trailer to get it to the place where we're going to fly it. And then finally, John Fury, our dear friend who lets us have Flight Fest in his backyard, he rolls up with a big old dump truck. And some 2x4s, and we just started cutting and hacking, and we built a big old saddle for the top of it, and inch and a half foam. And you know how we got the back end to actually control the pitch is we used thrust vectoring, similar to what you had on the blimp. Mm-hmm. And so we had motors pitching up and down, and then the way that the elevons worked, it only worked in the drag portion, not in the inside, I don't know if you want to call it slipstream.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So beyond just creating things that fly, but yeah. Okay, now we can get, you proved your point, you can get the thing in the air. All right. Let's start doing some things like, you know, your battle, you know, battle machines. Like, you know, let's make a tank buster. Oh, and by the way, let's make a tank so we can blow something up, you know, yeah. Right?
So every morning when the week starts, we're like, okay, what are we going to do this week? What are we going to do this month? And it's the funniest thing because we get to go back to our childhood with our best friends and say, okay, what would be the best weekend ever? Okay, let's recreate the A-10 blowing up a tank. And then, of course, like you said, it's like, okay, we got to make a tank for it. And then, you know, we're flight tests. We're not tank tests. We got to make the tank fly. And that Clearly. Was one of the most special episodes because everybody had a piece in that. There was the designing process of the A-10 to make it repeatable and something that could be made out of foam. And then over here, there's our good friend Chad Lewis that was designing a 3D printed to make an automatic minigun for Airsoft. That could actually legitimately throw some airsoft bellets really fast. And then over on the other side, we had the tank getting designed by me. And then it was just this beautiful collaboration of good friends coming together. When it all came to the head, it was a pretty magical moment because the first flight, we had a DJI Mavic up, and it was one of the newer ones. Well, we didn't realize that the frequency setting could step on our FPV. So the second this thing lifted in the air, I lost all video feed. And I just crushed it. I saw the tops of two crowns of trees, and I put it right in the crack of that, and all you heard was this crunching noise, and I was like 200 feet away. We had to rebuild the thing in like a week, and then we came back again, and in that time it was 5:30 in the morning, the sun was rising, all the stars aligned, and that thing flew and performed just like the real thing, and it was amazing how you could center up on this big 12-foot tank and just blast it. It was wonderful. So that was the kind of the key thing. And then we said, you know what? If we hit 1 million subscribers, we'll make it fly. And people must have really wanted to see that tank fly because we hit 1 million really quick.
Very nice. So those are some of my favorites. What are your favorites, though, of all of the crazy things that you've tried to throw in the air?
Oh, my goodness. Well, recently, maybe it's because I'm getting older, but I really want kids to see history come to life. And that's with, like, the ME-262 and Chucky Yeager's Glamorous Glenn. I have a real heart to honor, especially our World War II vets, because they're just a priceless commodity that's going further and further from our reach. So we got to keep in memory alive. And what cool way to do that than to recreate a battle, recreate a story. And so we built a monster ME-262, and you know, everyone's seen us, you know, use airsoft, and now with all the regulations kind of frown on, it's like, well, how do we get the carnage, but in a way that's not shooting a projectile? And, sure. Of course, laser tag comes into mind. So we partnered with a good friend from Video Aerial Systems. He had a laser tag system, and then we started playing with some relays. And it's the first time we've ever had to actually blur out electronics and Arduinos and stuff to kind of hide this because we don't want people doing that. Right. And we got to recreate the Chuck Yeager versus 262, and thank God it followed history a little bit because I would have hated if I got shot out of the air. So I was flying the P-51. My good friend Dave Jester was flying the 262, which, by the way, that thing was so loaded up with so much gear. Hats off to him for flying it. It was amazing. But sure enough, it was a lot more difficult. All of our plans and practicing went out the window the second we took off, and we're both at the end of our battery. And sure enough, he ran out of battery first, and I got the shot at him. And To see like two models recreate a piece of history, but then also to see history unveil itself where, oh my gosh, a nacelle blew off and that plane just rolled over just like you would have seen in the movies or in real life. Sure. It was awesome.
So I don't want to bring the conversation down, but I got to know. So Jim asked you what your favorite was. What was the build you got partway through and like thought, why the heck are we even doing this?
The battleship. Okay, Monday morning, I'm feeling feisty, and I took like this papercraft battleship, and I blew it up to 16 foot, and I just wanted to put something in the water. I love our waterproof foam board, and we're like, you know, first we put it in the water, and that was a lot of fun. We're driving it around, we're bombing it, and then we put our good friend Stefan, and we actually reinforce it, and we shove Stefan in this battleship, and next thing you know, there's miniguns. Well, of course, it has to go fly, and that's where we kind of took some inspiration, like, what do we see in the comic books? What do we see in you know, that artistic, you know, flying things. Well, lots and lots of wings. And I realized, you know, I think is it the Caproni? Was that, what am I saying that right? The Caproni back in history that had like way too many wings. It was a big flying.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about now.
Yeah. So it was like, let's do that. Well, that plane took 3 years off my life because we built it in small form. It flew fantastic. And it's like, this is going to be awesome. We started scaling up and adding detail and adding detail. And next thing you know, this thing is barely getting off the ground. And when it finally did, I had to make a long left-hand turn. And part of it was like looking through the trees. And then finally it turned back around. Well, second flight, it was awesome because we got to the top of the trees and that's where it stayed.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Josh, that was a fun one. I hope you come back tomorrow. I would love to talk to you some more. I have so many more questions.
I'm back.
This is the Morning Pre-Flight on EAA Radio.